30% of active duty and reserve military personnel deployed in Iraq and Afghanistan have some mental health condition that requires treatment. That's about 730,000 men and women, according to the National Council for Behavioral Health. The council has just launched a class called Mental Health First Aid for those who work with military personnel, their families, and veterans. Brian Bibb is the Public Education Director for the National Council for Behavioral Health, and he joins us now with more. Brian, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thanks for your interest.
All right, so you have something called First Aid for Veterans, I guess kind of for their mental condition. What is it? How does it work?
Well, it's just like first aid or CPR. It's designed for a layperson, and it's designed to teach individuals how to recognize some of the signs and symptoms of mental illness and substance use disorders, and then how to reach out to that person, how to provide comfort, how to de-escalate them if they are in crisis, and how to refer them to services if appropriate.
So who is capable of delivering this kind of service? I mean, who would go to the course in the first place?
Certainly. Well, we've trained over 180,000 people around the country in our standard adult program, which is designed for adults to minister to other adults in the civilian world. And so what we've done is our instructor base has learned this new curriculum, and they teach this course to really anyone who might come in contact with someone who served. It could be a family member, it could be a community member, it could be someone who is in uniform themselves and is providing peer support, or someone who provides professional services for a service member and is looking for some additional tools for their toolkit.
So it doesn't have to be someone who is a professional necessarily in mental health care or a physician or a psychiatrist to be able to learn this technique?
No, absolutely. In fact, that's the whole concept of the program is to train more people out kind of on the front lines, if you will, but back at home, to recognize signs and symptoms. The goal is early intervention, because our research shows that the sooner that someone gets help for a mental health problem or a substance use disorder, the more likely they are to have a positive outcome in the long run. So we're more about training more and more lay people in the community to have these skills.
Now, for many years, there have been hotlines, telephone banks, and so forth that people in mental stress can call. How does this build on that practice that's been around for many years?
Yeah, absolutely. Mental Health First Aid complements all those resources. And in fact, when we teach the course, a big part of it is encouraging appropriate professional help or encouraging self-help and other support strategies. And part of that is giving someone Veterans Suicide Crisis Line, is telling people where they can go. You know, and it's not just, you know, the VA is there across town. It's here are, you know, 10 internet sites you can go where you can learn about what you might be experiencing. Here's an online community of individuals like yourself that might be experiencing the same thing. Or here are some actual resources where you can go and get treatment anonymously and privately.
And how is the course developed so that, if someone is a mental health professional, they'll have assurance that it was developed using whatever best practices and best knowledge that's available to the professional community?
Yes, the basic course, Mental Health First Aid, was designed with clinicians and consumer groups both involved. And actually, we are an evidence-based practice through SAMHSA, the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. The veterans version of Mental Health First Aid was designed with a DOD grant and piloted with guard troops in Kansas and Arizona and supported by a number of organizations, including but not limited to the Walter Reed Army Institute of Research, the Arizona Coalition of Military Families, the Army Medical Research and Material Command, and the Arizona Governor's Council on Spinal and Head Injuries. So we really brought together a number of different groups. So the clinicians, but also the family groups, also the groups who represent veterans and their families, to make sure that this curriculum is accessible and appropriate for their needs.
Okay, and let me ask you this. For people that want to be helpful, but are lay people, they, as you say, they may know someone or know someone who knows someone or have a family member. What are some of the mistakes you can make without training in trying to help someone who is in mental distress?
Yeah. Well, I would say that the biggest mistake that somebody can make is ignoring something, ignoring a problem, ignoring a warning sign. And in fact, it doesn't have to be that complicated. Oftentimes, one can just reach out, tell someone they're concerned about them, you know, point out the behaviors that concern them, and then tell the person they care about them and they want to help. that they don't have an agenda, really. I mean, that's the fundamental tool of mental health first aid. But on that tone, that approach, we build lots of skills of how to de-escalate someone if they're, in fact, in crisis or they're having a panic attack or maybe suicidal. But also we go through a number of different scenarios, of different situations. Okay, how can we apply our action plan of assessing for risk of suicide or harm and listening non-judgmentally to various situations? But again, to reiterate, you know, the worst thing we can do is nothing, because our veterans deserve far more.
We're speaking with Brian Gibb. He is the Public Education Director for the National Council for Behavioral Health. And what about the difference between people who have had severe combat exposure versus those who were in the military or now veterans, but haven't had that contact, but nevertheless have some mental problem? Is there a kind of a fundamental difference there?
Well, I mean, if you look at the general public, one in four Americans in any given year, and this is the general public, will experience a mental health problem or substance use disorder that would qualify for treatment. One in four. We know that for returning veterans who have been deployed, it's one in three. But even for veterans or those who work, in the civilian workforce, we see that among Guard troops, 50% of the National Guard suicides in this country were by individuals who were never deployed. So the military life, life in general can be stressful. Life in general can lead to these problems. And the more stressful one's job is, regardless of whether, you know, it's overseas and in deployment or at home, can be stressful, and this program can help.
And I've asked this question of others on this similar topic over the years, but what about the notion that you have to have served in a similar situation to be able to have any understanding of what the person is going through? And that kind of, in a subtle way, precludes most people from being able to help. How do you address that one?
Well, certainly the instructors who teach the course are required to have a strong connection to military culture or have worn a uniform themselves. So our instructors really, are a peer in that sense. But those who take the course, the first aiders, really a peer-to-peer support can be very powerful. But, we don't have the luxury of only teaching peers to help other peers. We need to make sure that everyone in our community, everyone, that's, people, receptionists, pastors, congregants, teachers, counselors, everybody in a small community or a large community should have some basic skills to reach out to someone who might be experiencing these symptoms. I mean, we don't, only teach first aid or CPR to people who have experienced those crises themselves, but it can help, because a person might have an idea of what the person's going through.
And what about the Veterans Affairs Department and its health system? I mean, there have been situations where, let's say, its delivery of health services has been uneven. Let's put it that way. How can the course you're giving tie in and be availed to the VA?
Well, certainly, there's a myriad of different resources out there for veterans, including the VA, and we certainly, list scores and scores of different resources. The VA is right there at the top, of course. But they can be, local organizations, organizations like suicide prevention organizations or support organizations like Wounded Warrior. There's a whole lot of ways that an individual can be supported without necessarily going to see a psychiatrist. Some people, may benefit from seeing a psychiatrist, but we really look at the needs of a veteran more holistically. That sometimes just, someone to help them out with some self-help strategies, some ways to live a little bit more healthy and think about their illness and be aware of their symptoms can be all that somebody needs.
All right, let's get into some of the logistics here for a moment. If someone wants to take this course, where do they go, and how long does it take? What's involved in getting trained?
Well, the course is 8 hours of content, so it's an eight hour and 45-minute long day, so it's an intense day, or it can be broken up over a couple of days. It's taught all over the country. An individual can go to our website and put in their zip code, and they can get a proximity search that can show them where veterans instructors are presently. We have 4,200 instructors in all 50 states, and so far we've oriented about 300 to our new veterans curriculum, and we expect that to climb dramatically. They can go to our website at mentalhealthfirstaid.org, and click on Find an Instructor, and they can type in their zip code, and it can give them some options. And if they, any of your listeners have trouble finding someone close by, because we certainly are a huge country, you can certainly contact us through the website, and we'll do our best to find you a course near you.
And once one has taken that course, where do you go to be able to administer it?
Well, once you've taken the course and you become a first aider...
Administrator, I should say.
Exactly. You have that skill, and so just like CPR and first aid, you avail yourself of that in your community. If you want to become an instructor in mental health first aid or this curriculum, you can also go to our website and learn about becoming an instructor. We have a pretty rigorous process for becoming an instructor. We take the course very seriously, so it's a week-long, 40-hour intense training to become an instructor that has an oral exam at the end to make sure that the person's ready to teach this sensitive content.
All right, so what's your estimate or assessment of how this is all going to go as, you know, Afghanistan winds down and pretty soon all of the people that had served there will be veterans for the most part, those that will be mustering out of the military. What kind of a situation do you think the nation is facing and the workforce is facing in the next 3, 5, 7 years?
Well, I mean, I think we're excited and optimistic about the idea of veterans returning and working in civilian life. I mean, the experience that those who serve gain in the service is incredibly valuable. And we just see mental health first aid as just another way to, you know, for workplace wellness, a way for that individuals can be well. Like I said at the beginning of the interview, this is not something that is only affects veterans. You know, this is the sort of thing that affects everyone in our population. And the more people that are prepared to respond to someone if they're experiencing these symptoms, the better. Because, you know, it's the sooner that someone gets help, the more likely they are to have a positive outcome. I liken mental illness to, you know, wearing glasses or taking medication for hypertension or anything like that. It's part of being a human being. It's not a bizarre, dramatic outlier. It's part of being a human being, and there's many of us who experience it, and recovery is possible, and we want to support that.
Brian Gibb is the Public Education Director for the National Council for Behavioral Health. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for your interest.